Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time, and from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. When I was in high school and we lived in New Jersey, one Christmas I was asked to pray before the meal. I was not a Christian, but I was asked to pray before the meal, and I remember very specifically asking that we all be shown the true meaning of the Christmas season and the coming of Jesus Christ. I think that prayer was answered in my case several years later when I was in the faraway land of Korea and led to Jesus Christ by an army chaplain. And so I have some reserve when people tell me that the prayers of unbelievers are not heard. I really do have some reserve because I think that particular prayer was heard and answered. I think that our scripture this morning tells us something of the true meaning of this particular season, of the Christmas season and the coming of Christ. And it tells us of the conflict between the church and the evil one, between Christ and the devil, but more importantly, it tells us of the great victory of Jesus Christ over the devil. And as I put it in our theme, it is very simple. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. I think that's what our text tells us in the end. And it does have something to do with this special season in which we find ourselves. Let's read, beginning with the first verse of chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet,
and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. Well, we could spend a lot of time on that particular passage of Scripture, but our time is brief, and we're going to attempt to go through the entire chapter. At any rate, we are presented with a great sign, several signs. As I say in the first point, the great signs of heaven are the child, the woman, and the dragon. The great sign appeared in heaven. This is the only place in the book of Revelation where we are given the words, a great sign. In other places, we are told there are signs in heaven which are marvelous and great, but only here we are given this definitive explanation, a great sign. And the sign is of a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet, and she has a crown of 12 stars. It's a very interesting picture which we are given. This woman, it appears, is a representation of the church in all ages. Not just the church in the Old Testament, the people of Israel. Not just the church in the New Testament, but this is a representation of the church in all ages, clothed with all of the light of heaven. Of course, the sun and the moon and the stars are the lights of heaven, are they not? And this woman is clothed with the lights of heaven. The church of Jesus Christ is to be the light of the world. I think this is the import of the picture which is given to us. Jesus said, while I am in the world, he said this while he was walking the dusty trails of Palestine, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You notice how he said that? While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. You are lights in the world. And the church of Jesus Christ is to be the light of the world. This is the picture which is given to us. And this woman was with child. Of course, the Old Testament picture of the church was Israel, which was often in travail as a woman in labor. We just read that from Micah chapter 4. She was with child and cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. The people of Israel were always looking forward to the Messiah. And it was in travail that the Messiah was brought forth. And so Israel is often pictured as a woman about to give birth and in the pains of labor. And another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. On his heads were 7 diadems. Here is a great red dragon. Why is he red? Fiery red, representing the terror and fire of hell, perhaps, but just an awesome figure having 7 heads. We are told cats have 9 lives. This dragon has 7 heads, having power pervasive in his domain. He is the God of the world, and the world is all of that which is opposed to Jesus Christ and to God. And we are told that he has 10 horns. How you put 10 horns on 7 heads, we are not told. And that's not important. But we are told that there are 10 horns representing great and pervasive power. The horn is the symbol of power. And there are diadems, crowns, on the heads of this dragon. This dragon has authority in his realm and great power. Notice what he does. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. I think, this is Denny now, I think that often in the book of Revelation, the star represents the messenger of God. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ has seven stars in his hands, which are the angels of the seven churches. And most of the commentators tell us that these stars, which are, we are told, are the angels of the seven churches, represent the pastors, the messengers of these churches. Now we are told that this great dragon sweeps a huge number of the messengers of God out of their heavenly realm and throws them into the earth. In other words, he captivates a large portion of the so-called messengers of God. And I think this is happening and has happened and will happen in our world. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. The dragon is opposed to Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, this is a picture in an expansive way of what we are given in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, God said to the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And we see this prophecy of old given to us in this magnificent vision. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. This child can be none other than Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 is quoted, the Messianic Psalm, where God promises Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world that he, if he will ask, that he will receive from the Father the gift of people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And Psalm 2 says of Jesus Christ that he will rule with a rod of iron. Of course, this is a picture, and we do not have the picture of some sort of despot here, but we have the rod of iron, which represents the strength of God in which Christ rules. Again, we need to understand this vision in this fashion. The child is caught up immediately to the throne of God. And of course, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The vision then tells us that the woman fled into the wilderness where she might have a place prepared by God so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. You want to know the interpretation of those days, do you not? The number of days. Of course, this is the number of days given to the beast. We will find this later on in the book of Revelation. And this is 3.5 years, a time, times, and half a time, which we see later in the book, in this very chapter. The time, times, and half a times coming from Daniel chapter 7. And I think the interpretation is simply this. Like it or not, here's where I am. I say that the days of the number, or the days of the church on this earth in the wilderness, are numbered by God. I think that's simply the message. The days are numbered, and that's why it's given to us in that fashion. In some ways, it's a short period of time. From God's perspective, it's a short period of time. From the human perspective, days numbered over 1,000 might appear to be a long period of time, but we are looking at things from God's perspective, and the days of tribulation on this earth are numbered by God. Thank God that that's the case. And so we see these great signs in heaven, portraying for us the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's read verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." The vision, folks, the picture which is given to us is a picture of war in heaven. Now, to help us understand this, allow me to say to you that I do not believe that the bliss of heaven can actually be disturbed in any way whatsoever. Do you hear me on that? That in actuality, the joy and the bliss of heaven cannot be disturbed in any way. I don't think God's heaven has a ripple of discontent in it. In actuality, we have a vision here which is portraying a great truth. I think we have to understand that that's the case. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the third chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 3. And verses 21 and following. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was a demonstration. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For a demonstration, I say, of his righteousness, that at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He passed over sins previously committed." Do you realize, friends, that the saints in the Old Testament who believed in Jesus Christ who was to come, believed in the same Savior as we believe in, correct? And they went to heaven on the basis of what was to take place. And there's a sense in which God passed over their sins and allowed them into heaven when the final sacrifice for sin had not yet been performed in the earth. Now you can imagine what the angels were thinking. What's going on here? Can God actually be just and allow these individuals for whom sin has not been paid into his heaven? Can God actually do that? And the devil saying to God, "Huh, you're not just.
These sinners you allow into heaven, and he is the accuser of the brethren, as Revelation chapter 12 tells us. Is that not the case? And there is this conflict, you see. Turn back, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. And let's read again the great song which is given to us. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. Now it's been accomplished. Now Christ has come. Now the victory is seen. Oh yes, the foreshadowings of it were present before, but now it is accomplished. And there is absolutely no ground for the devil to stand on and accuse anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. There is absolute victory given to the people of God. And as I say in the second point, Christ answers the age-old question of how God could overlook sin for a time. Verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, because of what has been accomplished, because the devil has been thrown down, there is victory, absolute victory over him. And Jesus Christ has been exalted. Because of this, rejoice, O heaven, rejoice. And what did the angels do when Christ came as they were on the hillside of Bethlehem? Glory to God in the highest. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the angels had been longing to look into the things of God, and suddenly they could see it all for what it was when Christ came in all of his glory and splendor. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, and woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. You see, this links up with the 1,260 days. The devil knows it's a short time. To me, that's what comes together. Well, we have to rush on. Verses 13 through 17. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to be to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Here again is a wonderful vision. The earth represents that which is opposed to God. As I have said before, the earth represents the sphere of the world in the sense that Paul puts it, and in the sense that John speaks when he speaks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when the devil is cast down, it simply means that his realm is the earth, okay? The sphere of the world, that which is opposed to God. And what happens to the church, the woman? The church of Jesus Christ is always preserved. The church of Jesus Christ is always nourished by God. The church of Jesus Christ will always exist. It will always be present to a greater or lesser degree. Two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the dragon, the serpent. Yes, under the wings of the eagle representing the place of comfort and protection given by God. How good that is. You remember how Jesus spoke of Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks." This is the place of protection. And the eagle is the strong bird who protects the church of Jesus Christ. And you know, folks, we are in the wilderness now. We don't think of it that way very often. In the picture that's given to us in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were released from bondage in Egypt, entered the wilderness, had their wilderness journey, and then entered the Promised Land. We are brought to salvation in Jesus Christ, have our wilderness journey in this life, and then are brought to the Promised Land of heaven and glory. That's the construction. And we ought to be glad of it. And we are privileged to be nourished by God as we exist in the wilderness of this life. For how long? Well, here, the figure is a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years, as I said, coming from Daniel chapter 7. And I believe it is given in that way to show us that it is a short time and it is suddenly cut off in the coming of Jesus Christ a second time for his people. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with a flood. What does the devil want? The devil pours out a torrent of false doctrine, a river of lies, attempting to catch up the church of Jesus Christ in every manner of heresy and of perversion, and attempting to turn the church of Jesus Christ away from her master. Interestingly enough, the picture is that the earth opens its mouth and swallows up this river. The earth, remember, is a picture of the world system. And this world, the world system, the system of the world in which we find economic systems, political systems, educational systems, and social systems which are opposed to God, all of these systems love the heretical thought that pours from the devil. And they swallow it up, do they not? I think that's the picture that is given to us. And so in this sense, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. We are in the wilderness, and the devil is an adversary who is real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the devil is out after people like us to attempt to undermine our lives, to undermine our testimony, to undermine our lives so that we do not keep the commandments of God. And verse 17, dear friends, is connected to verse 1 in our text, because we are that church which is spoken of. We are that woman. We are the people of God, and we are called to celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ over the dominion of darkness. and we are to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ a second time. We are to do that. And in the meantime, what are we to do? Shine. How? By keeping the commandments of God and keeping the testimony of Jesus Christ that He came into this world. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was raised again. He ascended on high. And He's going to come a second time in glory and suddenly cut off the travail of this life. And so we are to celebrate Jesus Christ. I hope that we get a glimmer of the victory of Christ from this text. We've gone over it very quickly. But if we get just a glimmer of the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and Satan and darkness, we will understand that we are a very privileged people to be connected to Him. And in this particular season, we have all the more reason to celebrate. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this text. Forgive me that I do not ably present it. But I ask, O God, that You would work this text into our hearts and make us understand by the work of Your Spirit the victory of Jesus Christ coming into the world and being caught up into glory. Help us to understand, Father, that that glory is our destination. And grant, O God, that each one of us may look forward to it more fully as we celebrate the first coming of Christ and as we look forward to His second coming. Bless us to that end, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen.